You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Go ahead and have a seat. I'll tell you, I'm in tears a little bit because I find great joy and honor to say that I am the student pastor here at Houston's First of the beautiful students that you saw up here, as well as many that are in the audience. I'll tell you, it's an unbelievable thing to be a part of a student's life. And so thank y'all for the privilege of letting me do that. I'll tell you, today is one of those days that when asked to speak a few months ago, I said yes, and then after I said yes, was thinking, what in the world did I just do? Because Pastor Greg, his shoes are, of course, big shoes to fill. And so I stand here with in front of you, excited, honored, and a little scared. Let's just be honest here. But I'll tell you, there is nothing more beautiful than just being able to come into the house of the Lord and worship him together. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you for allowing our students to be a part of this service. It has been an incredible this past summer has just been incredible. These past few weeks have been busy. Doug stood before you and shared a little bit with you about what all has been going on. We've had at the beginning of the summer a camp with Camp Intersect, which was our 6th and 7th graders and our 4th and 5th graders going off, and they had a fantastic time diving into the Word, and it's just been fun from the very beginning. As soon as school let out, we got started, and I'll tell you, it's been nonstop ever since. The last 2 weeks, we got back last Saturday from Rush Week, and right before that, we were in New York City with Rush Moore, as Doug was talking about, so 2 straight weeks of being gone. And I love Doug and all those that planned these 2 events, but they about killed me. 2 straight weeks of being gone, and it was a blast to be away. New York City, just to give you a little picture of what we did, we took our rising seniors and graduates there, and it was just a beautiful time of going into the city and working alongside church planters, and kind of catching their vision for their community and what God had laid on their heart for the people that they were investing in, and coming alongside them and partnering with them. Our students did an incredible job, and leaders. We had unbelievable leaders as well. But one of the greatest things is everyone was absolutely, I think, stretched and exhausted by the end of it, because they gave everything they had to the people of New York City, to those church planters. Some of the things they did, they helped renovate an apartment for someone that fosters children in the name of the church, and got to love on her and that family. Had a chance to work with inner city kind of kids in the Bronx, and help out a church there that did parkour ministry, which any of you guys do parkour, that's where to head. Good stuff they were doing there. Others had just the opportunity, and everyone had the opportunity to just find people to talk to. To literally just find people to talk to, whether that was in a park, whether that was on a train, or whether that was just walking down the sidewalks in New York City. The challenge that we were given, the challenge that we gave our students, was to keep one ear to heaven and one ear to the ground. And the meaning behind that is that everywhere we walked, we were very intentional with praying and asking God, do we need to speak to this person? Do we need to ask, can we pray for that person? And then not just asking it, but doing it if it was confirmed that that's what we need to do. And I think we could all say that is something that we say we would like to do, but in honesty, it's pretty hard to literally be walking down a sidewalk and have somebody walk by you. And when you're intentional of praying to the Lord and all of a sudden saying, I need to pray for that person, and almost chasing them down, right? And just saying, hey, can I pray for you? And it was unbelievable to see students do that, and it was fun to see them be rejected some too. Rejection's a good thing when it comes to us going and just doing what we're supposed to do in obedience to the Lord. And so it was so fun watching our students do that. So one ear to heaven, one ear to the ground, and our students and leaders did an incredible job of that in New York City. The very next week, we flew down to Panama City, and that's what we just made it back from with Rush Week. And Rush Week was in Panama City, where we worked with churches that were pretty much already established. And we came along these church planter or church pastors to catch their vision and love on their community, much like we did in New York City, but now they're maybe a more established church that we were working with. And so we had groups that were moving trees that had fallen on the church building and helping clean up the area. We had them resanding pews. Our kids with power tools, okay? It was awesome. Chainsaws, I don't know if I should say that, but we had kids with chainsaws. There were some students I pulled up, and I'm talking about this one church in particular. There were four rather strong young men that we had that they gave the keys to the truck to drive a trailer and back it places. And at first I was a little scared, and then I realized they knew what they were doing. So good job, parents, in raising your boys to know how to back a trailer up, stick shift everything. VBS did a kids camp while we were in Panama City, went out onto the streets and met the people in the community and loved on them by getting some evaluations, some surveys to find out kind of the temperature, if you will, of the community. So the pastors had an idea of who was around them, had a great idea to know who was surrounding them and how best to love on them. Some of my most favorite times, though, were worshiping with our students. In the evenings, we would come back and we would spend time diving into God's word, chasing after him through songs. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time. Man of Sorrows is one of the songs we just sang coming right out of the offering prayer. And it was just a beautiful song that touched us all. The challenge that we had and the theme for that week was below the surface. Was going below the surface. And the reason that kind of penetrated my heart as we were thinking about and praying about what we needed to talk about and what needed to be invested into our students that week was the idea that when you look at an ocean, there's so much that happens on the surface level, and sometimes there's huge crashing waves, as it was the first 2 days we were there with double red flags and not supposed to go in the water. Although we did, and with permission, but with double red flags and not the waves were huge, and it was because storms were brewing. And just thinking that when we look at an ocean, so many times we only see surface level, but there's a lot of times so much that happens underneath. There is, right? There's beauty that's underneath. There's a current that's pulling. There's things that are creating that surface. And it really began as we were thinking about our students and where we're at, that it just began to think that that's how often we come into church is very surface level in our friendships. Very surface level when we walk into church, very surface level when we go to schools, very surface level anywhere we go and with whoever we encounter, because to be real and authentic, to share what's really going on inside is very difficult for us because it means a sense of vulnerability. It means a sense of honesty. And that's a tough place to be. For us to be completely honest and saying, hey, you know what? My life right now isn't going so well. There's some hurt inside me. And so as I was thinking about that and even praying about today, the biggest thing for me is we're coming off of these great things that have happened. So how do we keep it? You go and you serve together and you do a great things together. You're trapped in bunk beds near each other. And so you're doing life together. And then you come home and you split and you go home and you're spread out everywhere. Much like church, right? You come together and you have these great moments together. But then you go back out into the world. And it's very easy to keep those relationships surface level. And so I began to think and just praying about today, how do we keep that? How do we keep that momentum going? And one of the greatest things that came to my mind was the fact that in order for us to do that, we have to be very authentic in our relationships with one another. And so church family, today we're gonna just talk about being real in two different types of relationships, being completely transparent with one another. One of the most difficult things to do is that right there. Men, we are really bad at this because in order to be transparent, in order to be authentic, it means that I have to get myself and my pride out of the way. And that's a tough place to be. So when I say authentic, here's what I'm talking about. You know, the world tries to sell us all kinds of fake things. And if we're not careful, we'll buy into the fake things. You know, my wife and I, for our 10-year anniversary, went to New York City. So that was a couple of years ago. We're able to go to New York City. And as you know, when you go to New York City, there are plenty of people that want to sell you things. I mean, you can stand in Times Square and they will try to take your picture. You're with Elmo, and then they're going to ask you for some money. You're with a Power Ranger, whatever it is. Everybody's trying to get a little money from you everywhere you go. And so there's this one thing, though. My wife, you know, when we were making out our agenda and our list of places we want to visit and restaurants we want to eat at and all of these different things, there was one thing my wife wanted to do that was not on my list, but it was our 10-year anniversary. And so you just suck it up, right, guys? You just go with it. And so so she had this idea that she wanted to go to this one area where everyone sells things for cheap prices, right? And so we got on a train this one day and got off of it, and I kind of knew what to expect, but not really. I really think that she just wanted to go negotiate, because you can't do that at Macy's or anywhere else, right? There's this chance where she gets to step out and say, hey, I want it cheaper than that, and have a little fun with it. So get off the train, and as soon as we get off the train, someone meets us there and says, hey, do you want a watch? Or do you want a purse? And that's why we were there. I didn't want a watch or a purse, but my wife decided she wanted a purse, and this was the perfect time to buy a purse, specifically a Louis Vuitton purse. And so as we're coming out of the tunnel, as soon as we get off, this lady meets us, and my wife and her make eye contact, and now I'm in the back seat just along for the ride. So they're heading down the sidewalk, dodging people, and this lady turns around and keeps motioning for me to keep up. Lisa's right beside her, and I'm trying to keep watch. And as we go, I mean, it feels like forever, and I'm in my mind going, what are we doing? Why are we here? This is crazy. But we had one purpose, and that was my wife was going to get a Louis Vuitton purse. And so as we keep going, the next thing I know, we turn down an alley. I know. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Not my wife. Here we go. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm about to have to fight somebody. So we turn down this alleyway, and as soon as we get back there, there's this white truck that pulls up, you know, and there's no windows in the back, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to become the dude in Taken, right? I'm already thinking, how's this going to happen? And so as this truck pulls up, and now someone comes up that can actually speak a little bit more English, comes up to Lisa and is like, hey, okay, so what are you here for? And Lisa's like, I want a Louis Vuitton purse. And so they come out and they bring multiple different types. They bring this paper and say, which one do you want? And so she picks the one, and they go into the truck and come back out with it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, that is fake. We're about to spend money on something that's completely fake. And while this is going on, this guy comes up and rolls up his sleeve and says, watch, you know, and it's like both arms. And my wife's trying to talk me into buying a fake Rolex. And so I didn't do that, but we did buy the purse. Men, buy the purse. But so I buy this purse and this little wallet, you know, and things that says Louis Vuitton on it. But in my mind, I'm thinking, that is so not real. She's negotiated it down, still spending $100. But anyway, it's negotiated down. And after we walk away, I was just thinking in my mind, man, at least she got the purse. At least she got the wallet. But in order to buy something real, it actually cost you something. It actually cost me something. Fake? Sure, I can give up a little bit there for the fake, but in order to buy something that's authentic, something that's real, it's gonna cost me something. And when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our friendships, when it comes to who we are, in order to have a relationship that goes anywhere more than surface level, we have to understand that it's gonna cost us something. It's gonna cost us something. And here's the deal. When I think of student ministry, I think that our students have incredible potential to do great things. But what they need in order to keep the momentum and things going is to have people that are gonna come alongside them, hold hands with them, and say, let's do life together in a real and genuine way. We're spread out all over the place. This church is incredible, but we're spread out. I don't see any of you at Kroger that I go shopping at. And that's normal, I think, for most of us in here. So Sundays is time, kind of the time where we come together and we have our LBS and these things, which are fantastic. But when it comes to our relationships, my challenge and my thought is, are we going below the surface? Are we being willing to be vulnerable? And so the first relationship that I want us to look at is the relationship of peer-to-peer, man-to-man. And there's one passage of scripture that since I was young, I have absolutely loved. I've absolutely loved the story of David. As a young guy growing up, I just attached myself with him partially because he wasn't perfect. And I like that. They could still be a man after God's own heart. He just had to keep coming and confessing and saying, forgive me. And the story that we're going to talk about and look at is, of course, the story of David and Jonathan. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 18. I want us to look at this friendship in context of us being real with one another, with us being authentic in who we are when we come into the church building, wherever we go, the authentic relationships that we can have. As a student pastor, I'll tell you, our students need to see it because this world's trying to sell them a bunch of fake stuff. So let's look just real quick at 1 Samuel chapter 18, and let's see this relationship that develops and how it developed. If you have it, it's in verse 1. It says, when David had finished speaking with Saul, real quick, get the picture, back up a second. David has just killed Goliath. David is now having a conversation with Saul. David, the young shepherd boy, he's got the head of the Philistine Goliath in his hands as he's talking to Saul. So it says that at the end of chapter 17. So he's standing there as a young shepherd boy who said, I'm willing to do this, has great faith in the Lord. He's a warrior at heart. And he steps out, and now Jonathan intercepts him, comes up to him. And here's what it says. When David had finished speaking with Saul, Jonathan committed himself to David and loved him as much as he loved himself. In order for you and I to have true, authentic relationships with one another, one of the first things we have to do is commit ourselves to one another. Say, I'm going to walk through life with you. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to be there for you. I'm committed to you. And Jonathan looks at David and says, I am committed to you. Now, some of the reasons that they're committed and the reason that Jonathan was even drawn to David is he's a young guy himself. He's also a warrior. Jonathan's a warrior. You see in chapter 14 of 1 Samuel where Jonathan has his armor bearer there and they're going up against the Philistines and Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and says, hey, let's just go on and whip some guys. Leaves the army behind him and just these two guys go out there and have this awesome battle. Victories are won because those two were bold enough because Jonathan said, Lord, I trust you. Here I go. And so he looks at David and he sees a young warrior just like himself. And so he's willing to say, I'm committing myself to you. He also sees David as a guy of courage, of faith, just like himself. And so he's committing himself to David. And so he says, we're going to go and do this thing together. Let's walk through life together. They had a common purpose. They had a commonality in their thinking. And then they became equals in heart. So in order for us to have an authentic relationship, genuine, transparent relationship with others here in this church or anywhere that we go, one of the first things that we have to do is we have to find and say, Lord, who can I commit myself to? Who can I commit my everything to? Who can I strengthen? Who can I encourage? And so Jonathan finds that in David. It's kind of like Batman and Robin. You know, their common thought is I'm going to beat some bad guys. And so they go after, they become equals in heart. They don't look alike. Robin, anyway. So Batman and Robin, you've got Buzz Lightyear and Woody, right? A little cowboy. They had one common purpose going together and they were equals in heart in how they did that. And so David and Jonathan commit themselves to one another. And verse 2, continuing on, says, Saul kept David with him from that day on and did not let him return to his father's house. Maybe for protection reasons. Maybe because he knew that David's prestige was about to outshine himself, and so he wants to keep him close. But he has him come and live with him. Maybe he sees Jonathan's relationship with David and he wants him there. But in verse 3, Jonathan made a covenant. So the second thing that has to happen is Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as much as himself. Now, here are some descriptions of a covenant here. A covenant is kind of like a contract, except it's a little more binding. It says that in Webster's, a contract is an agreement between two parties on a given matter. A covenant, though, in the way of the Bible uses the term, is kind of a merging of fortunes. It is an oath sealed, not with pen and ink, but with blood. It's a union. It's a unification. And so Jonathan looks at David and says, I am committing myself to you, and I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm gonna tell you, and not just say I'm going to be there for you, but I'm gonna write this down. We're gonna spit in each other's hands basically and shake. This is binding. This is real. We're gonna make this happen. I am yours. The third thing that happens that I think is just unbelievable, and we'll look at some of the symbolism here, is that Jonathan gives David gifts. You see this in verse 4. Then Jonathan removed the robe he was wearing, and he gave it to David, along with his military tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. Why is that important? Why do those things even matter? First thing that Jonathan does is he makes a commitment to David. The next thing he does is he makes a covenant with David. The next thing he does is to show him outwardly that I am yours. He gives him his robe. You have to understand the symbolism behind the robe. The robe was what, when you're a Jewish boy, is given to you by your father at the judgment seat. The father gives the robe to the son and then parades him out in front of the people, basically to say, this is my son. He is no longer a minor, but a major. He is no longer just a part of the family. He is a part of the family. He is next in line. Things you gotta understand about Jonathan is he is next in line to be king. He's the prince. David is not. Now, of course, we know that David's already been anointed as king, the next king. So just even taking that into context, how much harder would that have been for Jonathan to say, here, take my robe, take my kingship. Take my place. Take my stature. Take what belongs to me, it's yours. Jonathan is willing to give him his robe. Second thing that says he gives him is his military tunic. Now, his military tunic is representing his accomplishments. Again, already said some of the things that he did. He was a warrior. And so you get medals, and you get the all of those things kind of thrown on you for being a military leader and someone that has great accomplishments. And now Jonathan is saying, not only take my robe, but take my accomplishments. Not only take my robe, my place, but take my accomplishments. I give them to you. He's laying down himself for David. The third thing, he gives him his sword. Now, you find in chapter 13 why this is valuable and important. In chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, you see that there were really only two swords in the land of Israel at that time. The Philistines had taken all the blacksmiths out of the picture so that the Israelites couldn't make swords. So when they went to battle, they didn't have things like that. They didn't have swords. They didn't have the spears. And there were really only two swords in all of Israel, one by King Saul, the second by his son, Jonathan. And Jonathan says, take my robe, take my place, my stature, take my military accomplishments, but now take my sword, take my self-defense. Take it. It's yours, David. I've made a commitment to you. I've made a covenant to you, and I'm going to give you these things. Fourth thing he gives them is his bow. And in 2 Samuel chapter 1, you see how important that is. It's thought to be that was one of Jonathan's most prized possessions, his bow. He was skilled at it. He used it well. And so Jonathan is saying to David, take my prized possession. Take my stature. Take my accomplishments. Take my self-defense. Take my most prized possession. The last thing he gives him is his belt, his girdle. And the belt is the thing that seems to be, to really have no real symbolic thing other than to hold his garments in place. It held his sword on him, possibly his bow, those things. But what he's basically saying is here, take the most innermost part of me. Take it all. David, I'm giving you my all. And if we were to be honest in here, that is a very tough place for us to be, because when it comes to our friendships, when it comes to our relationships, most of the time, it's about keeping a scorecard. Most of the time, it's about us and our pride and what we can gain from the relationship. And I'll tell you, if we're not careful, and I'm speaking as a student pastor now, church body, hear me, our students do not need to see that. Our students need to see authentic living, where we say that we live out what we say. There's nothing fake about us in our relationships. They need to see us being honest and genuine with people. They need to see us walk into this church excited to hug each other, but also sharing our burdens with one another. And sure, we may do that sometimes, but my challenge for us today is, are we doing that with multiple people? Are we doing that in such a way that it pleases God? Are we being real with one another when we walk in here? See, for most of us already, if you were like me when I read this younger, I started thinking, man, I hope I can have a Jonathan in my life one day. I sure do hope I have a Jonathan in my life one day. I hope somebody will come alongside me, maybe not to give me their clothes, but to come alongside me, to support me, to be right there beside me, to walk hand in hand with me, to encourage me. And if you're like me, that's how you may have even been thinking when you hear this story. But here's the thought for you. What if we thought of it backwards and began to ask the question, who can I be a Jonathan for? Who can I be a Jonathan for? Who can I lay down my stature for? Who can I lay down my most prized possession, my self-defense, my accomplishments, my innermost? Who can I say, take it all for? Putting myself in the background. Maybe that's peer-to-peer, and some of you guys have that, and if so, that's fantastic. I would say there are many of us that join a church and come here, and we kind of get lost in a crowd. Maybe in college we had that because we had, you know, you're trapped together. You're living in a dorm, and so you kind of have to sit on the couch or find another roommate. So maybe you had that growing up, but now it's hard. Because of our accomplishments, because it means laying down our pride and saying, I'm not perfect. I'll tell you, that's what we need. The world doesn't need anything else fake being sold to them. Our world doesn't need anything else that's fake. Our world needs something that's authentic, that's real, that's genuine. Our students need to see that. We need that. And so, just real quick, have you been thinking of it backwards and saying, who can be a Jonathan for me, instead of saying, who can I be a Jonathan for? Whose hand can I strengthen today? Maybe that should be our prayer as we walk out the day of our house each day, is whose hand can I strengthen? Who can I encourage in such a way that they're going to get praise and not myself? The second relationship that I just want to point out to us, and it's probably already come through, I hope, and that's our relationship with the Lord. Me to God, because you see, it's very simple for us to also act very fake. It is. I grew up in a fantastic family, and I love them dearly. We traveled and sang. Don't ask me to sing now, but we traveled and sang. My voice changed. And my family's incredible, but there was a sense for me of pride that began to come up that says, I have to be perfect. And it wasn't until I had some genuine people come around me that said, I don't care who you are. And I was willing to admit some things and be honest. I'll tell you, I feel like I was living as a fake. And when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we can do that so often, and we actually see that in 1 John 1 where this happens. In 1 John 1 where it says, now this is, in verse 5, now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Guys, the best thing we could possibly do is to walk into this place and be completely honest with each other where we are in our walks with the Lord. To just say, this week stunk. I didn't get in the word like I know I needed to. I failed in this way or that way. Because it's when we do that, when we say I'm not perfect with other people, and we say that even before God and say, God, I'm not perfect. I need you. that our relationship with him can be sealed, that our relationship can go further than just being a convert. It can go to being a disciple. I'll tell you, if we're not careful, that's where we can become. And I'm not saying that's where we're at. But I do just want to challenge us today in our relationship with the King. See, if you even go even further to this, there's the idea of Jesus, right? And Jesus took his robe off for you and me. Jesus took his robe off for you and me. He was still equal with God, but he gave up his rights to come and walk on this earth so that you and I can have relationship and fellowship with the Savior. So Jonathan says to David, take it all. Take it all. And Jesus did the same for you and I. He said, take it all. Take my stature. Take my rightful place so that you and I can become a major, not a minor. Church family, I don't know where you're at. But I'll tell you, this is an incredible church and I'm so excited to be here. And so maybe you're here and you're just kind of trying to figure out your place. And if this is the place that you want to plug in, well, I'll tell you, there are some already incredible things happening in the lives of the people here. I see it as I walk down the halls. There is a genuineness about this place. And so if you're looking for a place to join, I don't think there's one better. If you're here, though, and you're looking for that friendship, sometimes it takes us, just instead of us looking to say, who'll be that for me? Us saying, who can I be that for? And let me challenge you and encourage you. If you're looking for someone like that, there's no better place to start than on your knees just saying, God, please. God, please, who can I be a Jonathan for? Whose hand can I strengthen? Because see, it starts with our hearts. It starts with us getting out of the way and being willing to push someone else forward. Or maybe you're here and you know that you've never looked at Jesus and said, take it all. And you're a good boy, a good girl, a good man, a good woman. But in reality, you've never fell flat on your face and said, God, just take it all. Take all of me. He did that for us. He did that for you. He said, take it all. So church family, what would it look like if we began to live authentically with each other and with the King? I'm gonna pray for us and close this time up, but if you're here and like I said, you're looking for a place, I think this is an incredible place. And so if you wanna come down and talk to somebody about what it means to join this church and join this family, that does want to walk hand in hand together, then come on down, let's talk. If you're here and you're saying, man, whose hand can I strengthen? Who can I encourage? Then maybe there's somebody that you're sitting near that you want that type of relationship with, but it's gonna take someone being vulnerable. Maybe you need to grab that person's hand and walk down and pray together. Make a commitment to each other. Or maybe you're here, like I said, and you know you've never said, thank you, Jesus, for giving me your all. Take mine. And if that's you, then listen, we would love nothing more than to talk to you about how to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a real and authentic way. Not just a head knowledge of who he is, but a true relationship with him. This world's selling a lot of fake stuff. I think God's calling us to something real.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.